My next guest is a stand-up comedian who's been on Late Night with Conan O'Brien at least 38 times, has had specials on HBO and Comedy Central, and a one-man show off-Broadway called The Jerusalem Syndrome. His sharp cultural commentary made him a popular host on Air America Radio, and today he's back behind the mic for us. I would like to welcome the funny Marc Maron. Hi, Marc.
How are you, Faith?
I'm fine. Did you just hear that segment about corn queens?
I did hear some of the segment about corn queens, and it was very exciting because I've been traveling through nothing but the heartland of America for the last 2 days. And it's weird. When you live in a city, you get sort of used to being, you know, having people stacked on top of you in buildings.
Yeah.
You never sort of question the morality necessarily or the ethics of people behind the doors of your apartment. You just accept it as part of city life. But for some reason, when I drive through the Midwest and I see a house set back maybe a half a mile on a field, I cannot even imagine what goes on in that house.
Well,
literally, I drive by thinking, oh my God, something weird must be happening out there. And just to hear a nice lady who likes corn is very refreshing.
But see, okay, so Mark, on Air America, you had a show called Morning Sedition and later the Marc Maron Show. And of course, Air America and lots of voices out of New York or LA are accused of being really coasty, right? So you're driving through middle America. What are you learning? You're driving by and assuming that they're weird in the farmhouses?
Well, that's the way I used to look at it. I learn different things every day depending on my perception, depending on my particular mood at the moment. So on any given day, I could be completely enamored and in love with the great American people of the heartland. On any other day, I could be completely annoyed at the pace and the seemingly narrow focus of their lives. So it's generally hard to make a definitive statement about it. But I have found that, I don't know, you know, we go to Fuddruckers. I'm traveling with Andy Kindler and Eugene Merman. So really,
both been on our show. We love all of you guys.
So it's sort of like a road show displaying postmodern Judaic archetypes. So it's very interesting that, you know, we stop. And when Eugene Merman and Andy Kindler ate at the Waffle House four times in one day, 2 days ago Cincinnati. So what you're sort of finding is that when you travel with two other Jews and you're not really that Jewy, any of you, on purpose, but you do start to think like there is some sort of persecution complex that comes up just by being Jewish and being in the Midwest. And I realized when we were sitting at the Waffle House, the three of us, for the second time in one day, that if they don't have something to judge Jews by, they do now. Because we are sitting there and they're probably assuming that Jews travel in threes. They're very charming at first. They try to be funny for about a half an hour. Then they become irritating and will come back another time.
At least you're all working in concert. At least you're all acting exactly alike, it sounds like.
It seems to happen naturally. I don't know why. I'm assuming that by the end of this tour, we will hate each other deeply and just behaving like we like each other. But right now, we're having a pretty good time. It's pretty fun. And the people of the American Heartland have been very nice and surprised by us.
What's the most ridiculous thing that the three of you have fought about?
We fight about everything, but it seems good-hearted. But we're all comics, so really it's you know, secretly barbed. We haven't fought about that much, but some odd things have happened already, and it's only been a few days. Well, we were lost. We needed to go. What happened was we got to Newport, Kentucky, and it was our first day out. And Eugene came in that day. Andy and I came in the day before. We rented a car. We picked up Eugene, and Eugene needed to buy a screen for his projections because he does a presentation as comedy.
Okay.
So that means we had to go to Target to get a sheet or a shower curtain. So we got the woman at the Holiday Inn to give us directions, and she said, it's just 12 minutes away. You go down the highway, get off at this exit, and go to this place. So we got to talking about integrity and whether or not if someone does a commercial or perhaps someone sells their comedy talent out for some reason, does that make them bad, a hack, low integrity? And this is a deep conversation, certainly with Andy and I. And we didn't know whether we passed the exit or not. Yet in the car, we had a GPS. Andy has an iPhone. Okay. Eugene had a map and we had directions that the woman had given us. And we got lost. With all of that technology, Andy was very excited to see if he could use his iPhone as a GPS, whereas my GPS, which Eugene suggested we punch Target into but has outdated settings, was not getting us somewhere. So what happened was we ended up in the woods somehow, and it seemed like
a very
long time.
Three Jews in the woods. That is a good
Three
sitcom.
Jews, That's right. Three Jews in the woods with a GPS that's giving us directions that we can no longer trust. And Andy's in the back going, oh, I see how this works now. I see that on my iPhone that you can just punch it in and that's how Andy goes, right? So now I'm freaking out because, you know, there's Appalachian types coming out with beards and walking sticks and we're driving through the, you know, I don't even know where. And the GPS takes us down this hill into the woods and pulls us off the road and we end up at water. The GPS stops us at water and on the GPS it says, now board ferry.
Oh my God.
And we couldn't help but laugh because there was a man with a boat that could fit a car, but we chose not to do that and just have a laugh. And that diffused my aggravation because I'm not a wonderful driver in those situations.
You did a very good Kindler impression there.
I can do Eugene too. You want me to do Eugene? I don't know, Faith, if that's what we're going to be doing there.
Needs to be a little more bassy, but you almost got it. So Mark, you would sign off your Mark Maron show with Goodnight Sheeple. Do people get mad about that?
Goodnight Sheeple. Well, I don't know where that came from. I think it's been around a bit. I think that because I was on Progressive Talk Radio and what we were talking about, I was preaching to the choir to some degree. And I think there was a sense of irony. And I think that the idea was that we are dispensing the truth here. So I don't think that people got offended about it. And I don't care if they did.
Now, do you ever care if people get offended about from your comedy?
I can't help but offend people. I'm very intense, very honest, sort of raw, id-oriented, angry person that comes out. But I think it's sort of housed in a relatively charming, warm, sensitive vessel. So occasionally I offend people, but it's only because of my honesty or my anger and some things about religion. I guess I'm getting off the question. Do I care if I offend them? Of course I do. Does that stop me from doing it? No.
Let's hear an example of your comedy delivered from your warm, charming vessel. This is you at a show. It seems you are addressing a Christian in the audience. Let's listen.
All right. Well, you just love Jesus. You like a dead Jew that supposedly did some tricks. I appreciate that. And I'm not going to argue with you. I mean, I can believe what I believe. You can believe what you believe. I don't believe what you believe. And I will give you that Jesus was one of the great Jewish magicians. And there is a history. There's a history of Jewish magicians. Harry Houdini was a Jew. His real name was Weiss. David Copperfield, of course, classic Jew magician. They just took their careers in a different direction. They did not want the pressure that Jesus put himself through. I don't really have a point here. I guess what I'm saying is, yes, Jesus could walk on water, but if he fell in wearing a straitjacket, could he get out? Could he?
Now, Mark, you've said that you've known since you were 11 that you wanted to be a stand-up comedian because comics speak the truth, which is a pretty heady thought for an 11-year-old. I mean, you know, most kids at that age would be more excited about having free reign to tell booger jokes.
Yeah, I'm a pretty heady guy. Sometimes it's a prison, other times it's a very entertaining. It's interesting that you bring that up because I've actually added to that joke, and it has to do with that. I've talked about David Blaine now at the end of that bit that you played.
Is he the second coming?
No. I said, David Blaine what is David Blaine? Is he even a magician? Really suspending yourself in a box for a month and going to the bathroom in a tube? Is that magic? Is putting yourself in a block of ice? Yeah, right. Putting yourself in a block of ice for a week. How is that magic? How come all his tricks end up with him in the hospital eating? And then I say,
eating.
If that guy's a magician, I'm a magician. Come to my house any night this week and watch me try to get out of my head for 3 hours.
Well, I mean, is it more important to you to make people think or make them laugh? Or do you want to do both at the same time?
It's interesting because these are questions that I ask myself all the time.
Yeah.
I don't know if I ever saw myself as an entertainer. I see what I do on stage as me openly and actively trying to figure things out, trying to find a point of view, a philosophy, an evolving dialogue about a number of things because I just add on to bits. There are about three or four topics that I delve into, and depending on where I am in my life or what's influencing me, I kind of broaden the dialogue and just keep it going. But I think entertain is it's a fairly subjective thing. I think if you're engaging and you have a beginning, middle, and end, and there's a transformation on a theatrical level, anything could be considered entertaining.
Now, you said about three or four topics you like to cover. So knowing your work a little bit, I'd say what is it, politics, religion, drugs, right? You like to talk about drugs. Did I cover it?
It seems love, there's the love, sex
that old thing.
Area. I'm pushing some buttons. I've become sort of tired of the postmodern alternative comedic avoidance of anything raw and weird. So I've actually been alienating the very crowds that might like me.
Well done. That's always a good career move.
Yeah, I'm all about that. I'm all about, look, now I'm free. Nobody likes me.
Let's talk about your comedy about drugs. Was that something people joked about or just consumed when you were starting out back in the 80s? I know you used to work the door at the Comedy Store.
Well, drugs are drugs. I don't do drugs anymore. I stopped drinking. I quit doing drugs. Not because I had a problem. All right, I had a little problem, okay? But I'm not ashamed of it. I had a good time. I logged a lot of hours, covered a lot of topics, met a lot of interesting people. A few pirates, you know how it goes. If you're up for 3 days doing drugs, you're going to meet a pirate. But I thought there was always drug material. From where I'm sitting in my heroes, if you think about Lenny Bruce, you think about George Carlin, you think about Woody Allen you think about the entire stand-up movement out of the late 50s throughout the 60s and 70s, Cheech and Chong, that drug culture and drugs was always a topic, that made me laugh. Now, culturally, they are not that relevant anymore. So I talk about them from my own experiences, which is being a person who imbibed heavily, had a drug problem, and now doesn't, and where I am with that these days.
What's your biggest problem right now, Mark?
Well, the biggest problem right now is that my wife recently brought it to my attention that I have an anger problem.
Oh.
But she didn't say it like that. She said, I'm leaving. And she
left. Are you making a joke? I feel like I should laugh, but not laugh right now.
That is the title of my new CD.
I should laugh, but not. That is an awesome title.
That's exactly the type of laugh I'm looking for. That's what I am mining. I am mining the laughter that can be pain, that can be sadness. But I've had a rough year emotionally.
I'm sorry.
And I'm trying to. No, it's okay. It's all, you know, if I survive it and I don't go crazy, it'll all be good. It'll be funny. It'll be sometimes wisdom comes in weird ways. Sometimes humility is hard earned, and that's what happens.
Well, there's nobody better to help you through times like that than Andy Kindler. Well, and Eugene Merman. I hope you're getting a lot of hugs on the road.
Well, I get hugs when I accept them. We've had a very good time, and they're very aware of me. I don't know how I became the volatile prima donna of the bunch.
That's saying something.
You know, it's all been great. It's all been working out. It's been very interesting. We are now in Fargo. And I don't know what's going to happen. I grew up in New Mexico. I understand flat land, but I'm not sure what I was expecting. But it certainly has been exactly that.
Mark Maron, thank you for chatting with us today.
You're welcome.
My guest has been Mark Maron. He's currently on the Stand Uppity Tour with Eugene Merman and Andy Kindler. For more information, please go to our website, morefairgame.org.